The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Okay, let's make this happen on a new week. It's time for Everything You Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you, as per usual, to talk about what subject is on my mind today. And I think if anybody listens to the program regularly, you know my mind is never really empty in terms of things that I care about and want to talk to you about and give you my perspectives. Again, if you're new to the show, the whole idea is to present things from different angles that are happening in our world and our country and talk about them in a way that perhaps will give you a different way to look at things. I always say on this show, and I mean it sincerely, that this is not a show to tell you what to think. This is a show to allow you to think by having a lot of the facts and a lot of the angles to these stories that we are being only told one side, if any, in this day and age. I want to start off this program by painting kind of a visual picture for you. I was was lucky enough back in March Madness when the NCAA basketball tournament began. Birmingham had a chance to host the opening round, which had not happened in a lot of years. And, of course, that event was held at the Legacy Arena at the BJCC. The arena had undergone extensive renovations. There was a time when Birmingham was a perpetual sight just about every year in the tournament, or at least every other year. One of the big upsets of all time, when the Arizona Wildcats upset an undefeated Kansas team that everybody assumed was going to waltz to the national championship. It happened right in downtown Birmingham, and Arizona, of course, went on to win the national championship that year. Was there with my son and have vivid memories of that day. And the irony was, we lived in Birmingham at the time, not knowing whatsoever that within about 2 years, we're going to get a chance to move out to Kansas and live in Wichita. My son wound up going to Wichita Collegiate School here, starred in football and in the classroom, went on to the University of Kansas, or Kansas University up in Lawrence, and the Jayhawks, during his time there, football team won an Orange Bowl, and the basketball team won the national championship, beating Memphis in a classic come-from-behind victory. So Case enjoyed his college experience and parlayed that into a very exciting career as the sports editor of the Las Vegas Sun, which is the newspaper out in Las Vegas. And he is covering the Las Vegas Raiders for all of their practices and games, home and road, ringside at all the big fights. So a little personal memory of being with him in the arena in Birmingham to see Arizona beat that mighty Kansas team, which would become his alma mater strictly by happenstance. So with that being said, the reason that I'm calling attention to that, this is not a podcast about basketball. It is a story of the crowd that night in the arena, jam-packed. It is a story about this past year when basketball in the NCAA tournament came back to Birmingham in the newly renovated BJCC, which looks sensational and provided a great early round venue for the tournament. And looking around to see that the arena, particularly for the evening session that night with Alabama and Auburn playing opponents back to back, which was quite the fortuitous situation here in Birmingham for the folks hosting that opening round regional. It was really exciting, and I was actually shocked to learn that the capacity in the BJCC Legacy Arena, a little over 17,000, and that's how many were on hand for that electric session in the opening round games. Over 17,000. Now, I know all of you have been to sporting events, concerts, big events, shows. 17,000 people. So picture an event you went to. Maybe it only sat 10 or 12,000 or some significant number. But just think of the sheer volume of human beings that is. And with that picture in your mind, let me tell you that you may or may not know that last week on the south border, the southern border of the United States between Mexico and U.S., the crossings of migrants from 55 countries around the world, this is not just a mass migration of Mexican and Central American refugees seeking asylum that is being portrayed. This is the intentional shuffling of people from Europe and Asia and the Middle East and Africa coming in droves. Last week, again, now picture the 17,000 jammed in to the BJCC. That in 2 days last week, Wednesday and Thursday of a week ago, 9,000 crossings on Wednesday, 8,000 more on Thursday. That is the 17,000. So look at that packed arena in your mind. That's how many people walked across our border and into our country with no accountability, no records being recorded. They'll tell you that they are given a court date to appear later on. Recently, a guy who committed a murder in this country, it was found out that his court date to appear to justify his existence is not till summer of 2025. This is absolutely preposterous, and it's not working at all. This is not the term illegal immigrant is maddening to me, because these, ladies and gentlemen, are not immigrants. These are migrants. These are people that are being recruited and transported and assisted by the most hideous group of support people that starts with these humanitarian organizations is what their cover is, but it's really multi-gazillionaires like George Soros and others who are trying to bring as many of these refugees into the United States as possible to create havoc and chaos and financial ruin. It's the best way to attack America without using military means, because this is far more effective. This is the largest invasion force ever organized in the history of this world. So far in the Biden administration, in just 3 years, an estimated 7 to 9 million people have just walked across the border and come into this country and are spread out now all over the place. These are people that have been promised that they will be housed, they will be fed, their children will be educated, they will have medical attention, they will have all the opportunities of U.S. citizens and more, because U.S. citizens who have lived in poverty and lack of opportunity and hopelessness for many years are now downgraded to a lower status as our country scrambles to accommodate this invasion force. And that's what it is. Now, I've said on this program before, I have no problem with anyone who wants to better the lot of life and improve their family's opportunity, the lives of their children, their economic success. I think that's a great thing. And this country has certainly had a legacy of tremendous influx of people who have come here intent to be Americans and roll up their sleeves and become part of what our country is all about. That is not what's happening here, and it has not been the case for many, many years. People coming here still walk around carrying the flags of their home nations. They hoist them at whatever encampment, sometimes just living on the street. They still wear T-shirts and paraphernalia, identifying where they're from and their pride in those places. They are not here wanting to become Americans, per se. They do want to become Americans in the sense that they would get all of the services and all of the handouts that that they have been promised, but they do not want to assimilate and join our country as a contributor. They just want the free stuff and the opportunity to cash in that they have been offered to come here. And if you listen to analysts who are at the border and watch people coming through our country, yes, there are many families, women and children, and but the vast, vast majority are single men, early age men in their early 20s, maybe even 30s, but just single men coming across the border. And again, ask yourself the question, the financing of this. If you live in the Sudan or in Indonesia or Vietnam or anywhere in the world, you know, migration and illegal entry into a country, people that are supposedly seeking asylum, these are people that usually travel through the desert and stagger along for days and days and are absolutely obsessed with getting to the place where they feel like they'll be taken care of. And that is not what's happening here. These people are being transported. And you have to ask yourself the question why. I think I just laid it out a minute ago. They're being flown from places all over the world into the Mexican Peninsula, and then they're not even asked then to walk hundreds of miles to get to the U.S. border. They're put on trains and trucks or transported in private vehicles and deposited at the brink of entering this country. They have to cross, in a lot of cases, dangerous waters in Texas rivers, particularly the Rio Grande. We had three migrants drown, including a three-year-old boy last week, which is just heartbreaking and terrible. But these people are delivered to the doorstep to come into this country. And again, the reason that they are is because, well, there's multi reasons. The Democrat Party, with their policies, has completely turned their attention away from the working class persons. You look at the terrible strike right now against all three major auto companies by the United Auto Workers. Promises were made that have not been delivered. It is a very touchy situation. There's a lot of labor unrest in this country. Americans are not happy. And the pool of new workers for industry is part of this. But the biggest reason is the fact that these people are looked upon with great eagerness by the left movement, which has hijacked completely the Democrat Party. They are already scheming, as they already have been successful in doing, particularly in California and some other liberal spots like New York State, of getting these people identification cards, even driver's licenses, which automatically correlate into automatic voter registration. Now, you talk about things that are intensely against the United States Constitution. Elections in America are to be voted on by the citizens of the United States. End of story. There's no gray area there. A guy driving a truck or working in a factory that is not a United States citizen has absolutely no standing to cast a ballot. But the people that they have alienated and run off, the hard-working blue-collar workers, the people in the inner city that have lived in poverty and gotten nothing from the support of the Democrat Party for this amazing period of decades, and yet loyally continue to go back to the well and send these really despicable people back to Washington. This is an effort to bring in a new, economically dependent on government voting class and turning them loose, and a giant block of voters to replace those that they've alienated and lost. That at the end of the day is the biggest reason. The second biggest reason, and the irony of this is just rich. The irony of saying, well, you know, all of these policies by MAGA Republicans are threats to our democracy. Well, that's an interesting take on a movement that is expressly the biggest threat to our democracy possible, because instead of preserving the democracy, this is an effort to tear it down from the core, to take away the rights of American citizens, to completely usurp the Constitution by letting the borders be wide open, which another provision of the establishment of our forefathers and the constitutional principles that we stand upon. It is the federal government's job to protect the borders. Remember when the Ukraine war broke out, one of Joe Biden's earlier statements was, it's absolutely essential that we rally to the cause to protect the integrity of the Ukrainian border and to preserve the sovereignty of that free nation. Well, at the time, I think it was one of the earliest need to knows, I said, what about America's border integrity? And what about the preservation of America's sacred sovereignty? Those things are completely being ignored, and they're being ignored on purpose. Because again, these people believe that to get the kind of change they want, to take the individual freedoms and liberties of Americans away and put everything into their column in terms of being in charge, power, control, and the ultimate motivator. If you have power and control, you have all the money. And that is exactly what they're working toward. So their theory is this country can only be imploded from within. It's too mighty, and the people are too determined to maintain their freedom. The way to beat it is to put pressure on from within the situation itself and tear down democracy, to build something new, to do a reset and create this massive, all-controlling federal government. What we've had for 240 some odd years has to be torn down. So when they tell you that there's a threat to democracy, the threat to democracy are the people trying to rip it to shreds and completely overhaul everything we hold dear, our founding principles, our liberties, our freedoms, and everything else that it establishes our right to be Americans. Look at all the institutions that are completely under siege. Your right for free expression and free speech. There was a huge opinion issued by a federal judge recently of how the federal government completely stepped on the rights of millions of Americans by censoring comments on social media and also threatening individuals who were publishing things that were not favorable to their agenda. Remember, as I always remind you, this is a movement who says we believe in truth, not facts, but their truth is not the truth. Their truth, the truth that they stand by, is the benefit of the movement they have going on and the enhancement of making that succeed. And anything that threatens that is something that they do not have any use for. And those useless and bothersome facts that completely refute everything that they're trying, every rotten banana they're trying to sell you. Those are the worst things of all. So they believe in truth, their truth, not the truth, not facts. Keep that in mind in everything you see and hear, because the amazing thing is, as they perpetrate this tremendous fraud and tell you that our country is having unprecedented economic growth, that is just a blatant lie, and every American's wallet and shopping experience and trip to a restaurant or Uber ride or whatever you might have it. I'm in Wichita, Kansas today doing this report. I can tell you that the flights that I've been taking up here to work on a business project are so expensive that it's at the point where a regular American doesn't really have even getting on an airplane at their disposal as a choice. It's so cost prohibitive because the cost of running these businesses and fueling, of course, these airplanes, and absorbing endless criticism about the evils of the industry because of their negative impact on the climate, makes this industry one of many that are under siege. And the Biden administration, one of the first things they did, of course, was to declare war on American gas and oil production. We went from 100% energy independent and supplying energy around the world to basically shutting off the spigots, cutting off the supply. Now we're begging rogue nations for fuel. And the lifeblood of any economy is the energy that runs it. And you continue to hear that we've got to turn the page right away. This is, they used to just call it climate change. Now it's a climate crisis. You notice that introduction of the word, that it's imminent, that the whole world is, as we know it, is going to be destroyed. This is the biggest threat existentially to everyone on this planet, because our complete disregard for our carbon influence on the atmosphere is causing the world to just come apart at the seams. Once again, a planet that's been here 4.5 billion with a B, 4.5 billion years this planet has been here. And I think that if there's any adjustment going on in the in atmospheric conditions, the climate, anything whatsoever, the quick blip on the radar of the last 140 years of industrialization has nothing to do with the situations that may or may not be taking place. This crisis, this climate crisis, is a contrived, intentional tool to scare people and to also be able to empower government to force emergency procedures. We saw it during COVID, and they're trying to shape it up again. Let me just tell you, I will not be taking any COVID injections, and anybody who tells me it's mandatory is going to have to pin me down and administer the shot themselves, because I am not getting it willingly. Let me give you some quick evidence on that, because we're starting to get spread all around. But you notice they're not calling these latest boosters a COVID vaccination. No, they've had to get away from that. Now they're telling you you can get your flu shot and your COVID shot at the same time. And there's even some kind of commercial with this stupid jingle. They're spending money to promote the doubleheader of a flu and COVID shot. They're not even bothering to call it a vaccine anymore, because they can't. A vaccine prevents the spread of disease and prevents someone receives the vaccination to be able to contract it. This is not a vaccination. It's a COVID shot, allegedly to lessen the effects of someone who may be infected with the disease. But it's just another moneymaker. The government wants you to comply. Don't be surprised here, coming up into an election year, if this, quote, new strain, unquote, of COVID becomes a major concern, and that we're going to have to go back to emergency procedures, because they want to run the election the exact same way they did the last time, with all kinds of special provisions. So there's not any accountability for ballot security, and there's no checks and balances on who's voted and who hasn't, where they voted, how they voted, and how many times they voted. It's a subject for another day. Quickly, I think it's unraveling the strategy of getting all these people in the country, because if you look at New York City and Chicago and California, the problem is so profound now. You've got liberal Democrat mayors crying for the federal government for help. Now, of course, what they want is money, and they don't have any more of your and my money really to give them, with a $33 trillion debt already, $8 or $9 trillion attributed to the Joe Biden years. It's pretty sad situation right now. They're begging for more money to spend on more programs for these people, and also begging to give them work permits and IDs so they can function in our society. But the problem with that is that just incentivizes more and more people from around the world to come pouring into our country and completely change everything we are here. Because again, they don't aspire to be Americans like your and I's ancestors, who wanted to come to a country of liberty and freedom. These people want a handout, and it's a harsh way to look at it, but it's just the true reality and the truth, and everybody better be wise to what is going on here. These are people that are being recruited and transported and assisted into the country by the most heinous crime organizations on the Mexican border, the cartels, who are making, they thought the drug business was good, and they're packing down a lot of people with illegal drugs, methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl. They're killing over 100,000 Americans with their drug interdictions and distribution around the country already. But the business of smuggling people into the country and requiring them to cough up thousands of dollars, these are supposedly bedraggled immigrants that don't have any means, that are desperate to get in the country. How are they going to the pocket and reaching in and pulling out $1,500 or $2,000 for illegal entry facilitated by these crime organizations? A lot of questions to ask yourself as we go forward. And one final thing, the situation of matters like this always lead to profiteering people to take advantage of the situation. Now there's a Hispanic language commercial running all over the world inviting people to come to Texas. There's a large land mass near Houston that is being developed by some Texas businessmen in partnership with these mighty Mexican drug cartels. They have acquired all this property, and they are advertising that you can come here as a migrant with very little money. A couple of $100 supposedly will serve as a down payment, and you can purchase and actually own a lot in this land area that's southeast of Houston. And if you do that, you can build some kind of structure on those places. They'll even help you finance that, and you sign a bunch of paperwork. Eventually, of course, most people will default on their payments for the property, or if they do manage to build a structure, and these people will repossess these areas and just continue to do it all over again, making money every time a transaction turns. So now we've got corrupt people in this country, and they are spreading around a lot of money to be able to do what they want to do. And this is not targeting anybody on the left side of the ledger, because this is a lot of Republican-controlled territory in terms of congressional districts. And even the Crusader, recognized as the biggest thorn in the side by a lot of people of spreading migrants all over the country and getting them out of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, who's a diehard Republican, a 1.8 $1 million contribution to his campaign war chest has been uncovered by the individual, Mr. Harris, who is the principal force behind this selling of land and property in America. The target is to get these people settled, get them IDs, and get them to the point where they can go to the ballot box and vote as non-Americans and usurp all of your votes in the election and put in people that will turn states that are red blue, and the trend continues. A lot of sobering facts you need to know. Again, picture an arena full of people, and that's how many people walked across your border last week, adding up to the millions that are in this country. We don't know who they are, we don't know where they are, and we don't know what they're up to. But one thing's for sure, all of them have their hand out because they've been promised free stuff, food, housing, medical care, schooling for their children. It's causing terrible infrastructure problems, and it's going to collapse this country. There's no way that if we don't reverse this trend, we can sustain ourselves through this kind of invasion. And don't kid yourself, that's exactly what we're dealing with. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's Need to Know for this week. Hope we had some points for you to think about. Don't forget Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. Kiefer and Curry this week. We will have a new episode coming up of, I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. It's Tony's week to choose, but it will be an entertaining show like it always is. And don't miss our show on Saturday mornings, Kiefer and Curry's starting lineup as we get you ready for college football, 10:30 Saturday mornings on ABC 3340 Birmingham. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a good week, everybody, and stand up for your country and for yourself. It's time that we take a united stand and turn the tide. I don't like the idea of having to round up and deport millions of people, but if we're going to survive as a country, that's the direction we're going to probably have to head. Some hard choices ahead. Take care. Thank you for listening. This is Need to Know. I'm Kip Kiefer. All the best to all of you, and God bless America.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.